This is the Emerging Women Podcast, where we become inspired to live and lead from the truth of who we are. We're creating a new paradigm for power that includes the feminine perspective because the world needs it. Welcome, welcome, emerging women, to this podcast episode about getting turned on in a way that sustains us and that brings out our most creative expression in the world, and that is through our feminine genius. Today, I am speaking with Liana Silver, author of the book Feminine Genius, The Provocative Path to Waking Up and Turning On the Wisdom of Being a Woman. And we, a few years ago when this book came out, had the pleasure of speaking more in depth on the book with Liana. And now, because of the state of the world, I felt like I needed another injection of what she offers, because I don't know about you all, but I was just on an event through the Harvard Business Review for the state of women in work right now. And in the chat, all I could see was women saying, I'm tired. I'm so tired. And I'm tired of being tired. So Liana's native genius and her gift to the world is that she helps women become the women that they are meant to be. And how she does it is a way that will change the world. It will change leadership. And we are in just the very beginning of this movement of power through our own feminine genius. So Liana, welcome.
Oh, I'm so glad to be here and to be back.
It's so great. And now I can't remember exactly the year, but I think it was 2015 where you were a speaker at Emerging Women. Is that correct? Or was it 2016?
Well, you had smaller events before the grand. So I think 2015 is right. You happened to say, Liana, you should write a book. And then I took your advice and wrote a book. Goodness. Yeah. You really, I do credit you for putting that seed in the ground for me. And then I'm going to say probably 2018 or something again. Yes. Yeah. On your beautiful stage.
Aw, yes. And it's, you know, unbelievable how much I was just telling Liana as we were warming up to this conversation that I've actually had her book on my desk for the last, I think, 4 months. And the reason for that is I myself, as we're waking up, so to speak, from the pandemic, I've just been loaded up with so much inspiration and creativity and vision, but so much so that it's kind of triggering me to like get back into my survival mode of leading with the masculine. And guess what? I don't like it when I'm in that space. So I've been having her book here and kind of doing these, you know, opening them and reading a little something just to keep myself in the feminine, because I know I do better in that space and get more done. So we're here to talk about, Liana, what are women facing right now? And why do we need more than ever this idea of leaning on the feminine?
Well, I think you're really right. I think women are very tired, very burned out, very overwhelmed. I think, I certainly can't speak for everyone, but I experience and hear the same things you're hearing. I hear a lot of stuckness. I hear a lot of, I want something different for my life in this next chapter. And for some, it's they think it might be their last chapter. They're at a point in their lives where it very well could be. And really just status quo and business as usual is not okay. And sometimes they're clear on how to change things and sometimes they're not. But I think it's at a real crisis point.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And it's a crisis for, you know, at Emerging Women, we work both in the world of tech and we have executive women in our audience. And then we have entrepreneurs, solopreneurs, and it feels like it's across the board. And especially when you're in a corporation, the great resignation, this mass exiting from that corporate structure is being led by women. It's the women, the majority of people quitting are women. And so what does that tell us?
So if you're not familiar with this, it's a metaphor, but it's a real thing too, of the canary in the coal mine. So when you mine for coal and you dig tunnels under the ground, there are really toxic gases that come out of deep underground. And so miners, I don't know if they do it today, probably not, but used to put a little canary, a little bird in a cage into the mine before anybody else would go down. And then if the canary came out alive, that meant it was safe for humans to go down. If the canary came out dead, then you knew there was toxic gases. And so often women and those in female bodies or who we just self-identify as women are more, we're more sensitive to those toxic gases, not literally down in the coal mine, but all the stuff that isn't working. Mm-hmm. In our workplace, in our life, you know, even in our own minds and in our own hearts. And so I think we are more aware.
Yeah.
Our bodies will show signs of stress, mm-hmm. or that this isn't working. Our minds will, our bodies will. Mm-hmm. And we're, you know, like squawking to be let out of the coal mine.
Yeah. Yes. Oh my gosh. I feel like it's the women that they're lowering down into that shit too.
It is. It's exactly right. And it's not just that we can notice when things aren't working. I think that we also either clearly or just an inkling have a sense there could be something different. There could be a different pace to my workday. There could be a different way that I achieve goals. There could be a different way I treat myself. There could be a different way I care for myself, run my life. Sometimes I know what it is and I'm walking out the door in great resignation, as you said, to enact that. Or maybe I have no idea, but I just hold the possibility that there's something we're in better.
Yes. Yes. The other side, I will say, like on the entrepreneurial side, I feel like we're coming out of this sort of, especially if you're an entrepreneur in the online space, or you're a female entrepreneur that's like gotten investor money, and those models, whether it's online marketing, online business, or some kind of product that you have that requires investment, that there's a dialing up and a requirement of energy and output to be successful in those spaces that also didn't work for and doesn't work, especially if you feel like you're stepping into this might be my last big push, or if you are in midlife and, you know, maybe if you have children and they're getting a little older and you're ready to go back out there as an entrepreneur, you may not want to completely sacrifice everything and burn the midnight oil to make your endeavor completely, you know, succeed in a monetary way, or, you know, do whatever it takes to get there. I guess my question is it possible to get there without doing that?
Yeah. We are simultaneously aware that we're inside a bunch of systems, just like the massive requirement of energy that online marketing requires. We can see what's been built, how we're supposed to plug ourselves into it. We can see that it doesn't work. We can try out some alternatives. We see the system, we're trying to do it differently. And it's a little bit like electric vehicles 10 years ago. It's like a really nice idea, but there just weren't charging stations, or there wasn't, you know, efficient creation of the vehicles or whatever. Today, it starts to make a little bit more sense. Unfortunately, we are in a moment where we are creating the electric vehicles of working as a whole human that isn't perpetually burning out. We're trying them out. We're creating them. You know, give us 10 years and there'll be a lot of infrastructure built and a lot of recognition. This is a way more, a better way to work. But I do want to acknowledge that we are in an exciting time, but in a time where we're making the blueprints or discovering them or trying them out. I think we have to start from the essence of a different way to do it before we get into the implementation. So, for example, if the essence of get on not just one social media platform, but eight, and post not just once a day, but three times a day, or we know whatever it is, right? So the essence of that is more is better, bigger, better, right? Be everywhere. And that's works for some people, for some businesses and some models. So the essence is more is better. And then the implementation is, you know, drive yourself into the grave, tweeting and posting. What might be an alternative is the way that the feminine quality in every human being, regardless of gender, regardless of sex, can connect, can really, right, deeply connect with another human being and is invested in that relationship. Mm-hmm. And that's a little bit what you're trying to do on social media, but it's in, you know, inherently shallow. So the essence of connection, like what would be the implementation? We certainly, of course, use this in business, but in what way could that translate beyond the one-to-one meeting, beyond the, you know, get in the same room and do a network meeting, which are wonderful. And some people are doing some really cool things with that. And sometimes it works better than all that effort with social media. Sometimes it doesn't quite, right? So I think we are all innovating and trying things out. And please, let's share what's working.
Yes, I think you hit on something, this whole idea of connection and how can we do that in a way where we're really talking about what matters most. And we're walking away elevated and not depleted. And it's not the amount, but the depth that, you know, really is the secret sauce. And I just, you know, part of me, it feels so natural to reach out for connection. And yet we're told by the current society that if we're not doing something on our own, then we can't feel valuable or we can't honor ourselves for our contribution. And I wonder how much things would change if we started to value how much we got done collectively and started measuring that.
Right.
I think that would really change some behaviors, not just in business, in the corporate landscape, but also how we run our business as entrepreneurs.
I love that. I love that. Right. And the concept behind that is so cool. For example, I don't know if, do you know what mycelium are?
Yes.
Yeah, so probably you know this, right? But anybody who's listening that might not, mycelium is it's almost the root system of a mushroom or a fungus. What you see on the little thing you would put in your spaghetti sauce is the fruit and everything else that runs underground. This is just like a neural network. It's like a network of roots that, so mycelium and fungus in different parts of the forest floor communicate with each other, and the mycelium communicate with the trees and the plants. And there's this whole conversation going on underground. And in fact, when there's a fire in one forest miles and miles away, the message will get from one tree through the mycelium to another tree to say, you know, put your special sap out because fire is coming. And we may not get into the implementation of that, but that idea that we're each communicating with each other, feeding each other, that we could, you know, make the forest floor more alive, more grounded, we could all grow better if we were connected in that way, is an inspiring idea.
Yes. And I love how you're attributing the growth to it, because sometimes I feel like when we're talking about connection, you know, in the corporate world, they call it soft skills and hard skills, right? And I can't stand that. I'm like, don't you use that soft skill. It's hard to learn how to connect with someone deeply. You know what I mean? You got to like regulate emotions. You can't slam the door and peel out of the driveway. You know, like you've got to like be in it and be vulnerable. And it's hard. These are hard skills, right?
So well said.
Right? It's like easy to look at a P&L and look at these spreadsheet. That's the easy shit, people. Okay? Yeah. That's the black and white. The hard stuff is reading into nuance and being open enough to allow somebody to come in and contribute their genius so that together you thrive, and not being so like, well, but then I won't, they won't know it's mine. What's my IP? What's my intellectual property, right? What's mine? What's theirs? That's hard. And maybe that's just hard for me because, you know, I'm a Capricorn. I've got all these like, but it's hard. Yeah. And to believe in it, to believe in it whole. I know that with emerging women, and I think a lot, Liana, just even this conversation and us reuniting after so many touch points at Emerging Women, where we keep circling back and our work going, wow, you know, what more can come of this? It just feels like the universe, the evolution of the human species is in the space of we. And the growth is not just going to be, oh, we're more connected. The growth is going to be financial growth. It's going to be more amazing, innovative products. It's going to be the systems and how we do things are going to change. So much will change.
Yes. Yes. Back to your point, you know, that so many of us are tired. I mean, we can absolutely talk about inner game stuff or, you know, just ways to change that, combat that a bit. And I also appreciate the cry of the canary that says, this shouldn't be the case. Just like you're saying, we shouldn't all be silos, we shouldn't all be isolated. How can we actually connect? That it's each of us going, why is this the norm for everybody? And it shouldn't be this way, and let's change it. So I just appreciate that the kinds of innovations we're seeing or we will see are often born out of us, but often women saying, this shit isn't working. And this what needs to be built.
Right. Right. And I love that you're saying that because it puts us, and again, we're talking about the feminine. Yes, the men, they're all part of it. Yay, yay, yay. Okay. Can we just like now go back to talking about women? Don't want to exclude the men, but we love the women, and the women are at the, we are the ones, when we shift into that mindset that you just said, we shift out of reactive survival mode and into, let's solve for this. And I think that's the opportunity as executives in powerful corporations. That's the opportunity for entrepreneurs that are creating products and systems and thought leadership around this. We're not just doing it for ourselves. We're doing it for the next generation of women and teaching people, how can we survive and thrive in a way that where all human beings can really just like self-actualize. If you look at the Maslow's hierarchy, that is a need. We need to self-actualize in the same way we need water and love and belonging. And right now we are not in an environment and the systems are not there for any human being to self-actualize. The people who are self-actualizing, bless their hearts, we don't know how they're, I mean, how, right? Especially women right now. So we got to change it.
Now, I want to say maybe something that can help and also acknowledge that it's a hard skill. It's hard. I have noticed that the creative inspiration or the turn on, you mentioned, turn on to be excited about things, to feel good in your body, to be drawn toward things, to have the song comes on and you want to move your body. You were like, yes, I'm feeling myself today. Requires space. It requires an inner sense of spaciousness. There's enough time. It requires time to get ready in the morning, time to look somebody in the eye, time to move from one appointment to the other. And I know that when I hear things like this, I go, but just really take a look at my life. Right. Yeah. You know, and, you know, are you a parent? Are you a solo parent? How many kids do you have? How many jobs do you work? You know, I really get the realities of this, and it can feel like a luxury. And in a way, the example I'm going to give, there is a lot of privilege and a lot of luxury behind it, because I do work for myself. So in essence, I can set my schedule. But last year, I got sick again, you know, in a lot of burnout, a lot of tiredness, and was in one of those face on the cold, hard floor moments. Like, yes. I cannot set my next year up this way. So, right. In whatever way you're sitting there, head in hands, tears in your face, right. I had to change everything about my schedule. I had to quit a consulting gig that I had, that it was great. I had to do a bunch of inner work, a bunch of work with my schedule, you know, like, and these days, so that, you know, that took some months to put into action, and it took a tremendous amount of inner work. And there are days where I feel like crying a little bit, because it wasn't overloaded. Like, there was space in my day.
Yeah.
And there are busier times, there are less busier times, but I just want to sort of go back and kiss my last year self and say thank you for doing some strong arming of making a bit more space in my life. And just to be transparent, I am a parent, I am a solo parent. I get help all over the place, you know, but just to say, there's factors that go in here.
Yeah.
So I'm not saying this is easy. I'm not saying it's actualizable for everyone, but as we are remaking the world that is not made for health, it's not made for thriving, especially for female bodies. Let's keep pointing out, you know, what can help, because I think people will really hear one of those. There'll be a crack in the cement fortress somewhere where someone can actualize something.
Yeah. I hear you. What about here? You work one-on-one, you work one-to-many with women who have, like the emerging women audience, a huge longing to be fully expressed. And boatload of wisdom to share, and wanting to share that wisdom. And we have a lot of teachers, we have a lot of business women, we have a lot of leaders. And I know you also work with the whole range of people that your coaching clients and your audience in your book. What is, like, if you could name like your top three super practices to help women overcome the feeling of overwhelm and really feel like they're in their creative seat, and maybe one of them is making space no matter what. But what would those top three practices be?
So let's just start with one that I love and that feels about going for more feeling good. So the question that I've trained myself to ask myself as much as I can throughout the day is how can I make this moment more pleasurable for myself? So one of the things that is just, this is a practice. This is a huge self-care practice, to bring more pleasure. And we can feel like pleasure is an afterthought. And I don't mean just sexual pleasure. Right? This is whatever has you feel good and enjoy and where there's more turn on. So the question, right, has us say that even this moment, it could be a mundane moment. You could be on the grocery line. You could be waiting for someone on customer service on the telephone. It could be, something like you're going to have a really tough conversation. How could it be more pleasurable for you? Now, it's very personal, very unique to each person. But just to give you some examples, that could be that you take your shoes off and then you feel your feet on the floor. It could be that you forgot to drink water, so you drink water. It could be that you take a break and you move and gently stretch or put on a song that you love. It could be that you're eating something and instead of eating out of the to-go container, you put it on a beautiful plate, your favorite plate. It could, right? I don't know what it is, but what happens in the body when we are experiencing more pleasure is that the sensations or the experience is brought into your body and then up through your spinal cord into your brain, and dopamine is released. And dopamine is kind of the confidence. It's a bit the motivation. It's a bit the confidence neurotransmitter. So pleasure actually starts to make you feel better about yourself. It starts to have you feel yourself a bit more. If you could imagine, or maybe you have done cocaine, right? Cocaine is a big dopamine booster, right? People on cocaine are like, it's fantastic. Do you want to hear me tell you all about how fantastic I am? So pleasure is actually nature's cocaine in a way. We're not oriented toward that. We are oriented toward productivity. We are oriented toward, looking good, stuffing in one more thing in our schedule, et cetera. And it's so it took me some time, but it is a reflex. It is sort of a default question I'm always asking in the background. And it makes me feel better about myself. And it makes even the hard stuff, or the compressed stuff, more manageable or a little better.
Love it. So you would be doing that mindset shift right before you're going into something.
Yeah. I mean, it depends how much you can multitask, but sometimes if I'm in the middle of something, I mean, it could be I'm in the middle of a tense conversation, or could be even this conversation, Chantal, you and I are having, and I'm like, oh, I could breathe a little more into my belly or something. That would be more pleasurable, rather than some tension I'm having. But yeah, definitely going into something as well.
Love it. I mean, that's a really good tip. Sometimes when I'm with somebody and it's difficult, I'll reach my arms out and I'll just be a little goofy and I'll bring a little dance to it.
Yeah. Yes.
Tell them, you know what? I'm just going to bring a little dance and I'll just move my body. And I think that's what I'm trying to do. It's almost like, when you yawn, you bring more oxygen into the body. Yes. And, but it's that primal. So yes. I love that. And I love that, it isn't, when people say pleasure, it's funny how I don't ever think of, do I think of sexual? Yes, but it's not my first thing when you say pleasure. Mm. Actually, I think my first thing might be ice cream or something like that.
Yeah.
Yes. Hello, lovely listeners. I want to pause for a moment here to make sure that you know how you can get even more access to this type of inspiration and support. Emerging Women has its own membership community, where you get teachings from incredible female leaders and coaching support directly from me, as well as other brilliant members within the Emerging Women Tribe, every month. If you are ready to go deeper into your own leadership and emerging journey, head over to emergingwomen.com for a free trial of our membership community. We've truly designed it as a hub for women like you who want to create change in the world. Don't go it alone, sisters. Head over to emergingwomen.com/membership and start your free trial today. Now, let's get back to our conversation. So it's funny how that word pleasure always gets associated with sexuality. And they're not wrong, right? Because you are talking about turn on.
Yes, yes. And right. You know, I think we're talking about, and in fact, this is kind of what feminine genius is at the essence. It is a life force energy. And that covers a range that on one end of the range is ice cream and the pleasure you feel, what you smell and what you taste and what you touch, et cetera, you know, those five senses. And then at the other range, at the end of the range is sexual or sensual encounters, right? But life force energy, where there's that spark of aliveness, where there's some joy at the deliciousness of being in a body, you know, that's pleasure. That's the erotic. It just that happens. Sexual happens to be one piece of the range. Yeah.
Got it. Got it. Okay. And now if you were going to, I don't know if you have another one in your toolbox that would be helpful.
Yes. So I tend to manage my energy. I mean, I manage my time, but I'm kind of managing my energy rather than my time. So my focus is on energy rather than time. And I did all the time management courses. And I think there's a lot of tips to do from that. And, you know, I need to be at some place on time. There's some management that has to happen. But when I'm paying attention to my energy, I've had to pay attention to sometimes if you're aware of your body and your hormonal cycles, this can be helpful. Or if you're someone who's very tuned into the phases of the moon or the planetary cycles, right? There's going to be times when our energy is more outward and more up. We are more easy to connect and we're sort of out in the world more. We're more social. We feel better about ourselves. There's times when our energy are more inward. We're more dreamy. We might feel worse about ourselves. We might have less, less energy, but less enthusiasm for things. And so what do I do when I got to do something big and outward, like some big presentation or teach a class, when I feel more inward, like I'd rather stay in bed and watch a movie. And so that is more of managing my energy rather than managing my time. So first, I think the number one thing is recognizing what my energy is. There are times when I'm going to be more outward and bright, and there's going to be times when I'm more inward and lower energy. I don't need to worry that it's going to be lower energy forever, because we are always cycling. So
that's a great reminder, by the way, because when the energy is not there, sometimes we feel like, is it ever going to come back? Totally.
Is it ever going to come back? Right. It is. And you know, anybody who's chronically in burnout or experiencing depression, you know, it can go longer than usual. It's very scary. I'm not minimizing that at all. But generally, it is a form of faith to say, this is the time when I'm in the underworld and I'm going to be in the overworld soon. And for example, the last couple of days, just to share personally, it's been really hard to write the articles I need to write for next week. I can't really get my brain to focus on them. And I notice I'd rather kind of like lay down, and my inclination is to sort of zone out and watch something and watch a show. And instead of making myself feel bad about that, I realize, you know, it could be that I'm getting sick. It could be just that I'm in that phase. And I already know I'm going to surprise myself in a couple of days and be like, what? Who was that person? Because now I wrote three articles and, you know, have energy left over. So I kind of go with it as much as possible and understand there is something, there's a wisdom at work. There's not something wrong with the system. The system is functioning properly. And so first of all, I think there's so much gain from just not feeling bad or wrong or crazy about having different energy levels, but to go with them as much as possible. And then, you know, if you have to really go for it in a time when you don't feel like it, to what I do is, first of all, kind of pad that time. So is there a massage that I can get on the other end? Is there an afternoon I can take off? Or is there, you know, a walk I can go on the other end? So if I'm going to push a little bit now, is there a way to really nurture my system on the other end? And then I really, this might sound a little esoteric, but I really kind of imagine that I'm getting my energy from being more grounded, like roots of a tree going into the ground, because I kind of have to pull from down below. I kind of got to just have to like pull it up. So rather than from pulling out there in the world, I'm kind of pulling it up from
right. That's like the opposite of esoteric for me. That
okay, feels good.
Like we're talking about the earth.
Yes.
Yes. That's where I get it for sure. Yeah. Love that. Carolyn Mace has a whole, not to like be, you know, dating myself with my 90s self-help and spiritual.
Oh, she was my first. She was my first. Yeah.
Well, I mean, that's what I meant, you know. But she definitely has this energy of this exercise where you put your feet on the ground and you actually through your root chakra, like through your yoni, you yeah. reach that energy down, wrap it around the center of the earth and pull it up. And it's an energy medicine practice that she says for grounding, confidence, and all these things. So that feels very practical to me.
Good. Okay. Excellent. Yeah. Yeah. Space is a big one. Your question was self-care or like,
No, but like, you know what we're facing here. We've got lots of juggling, and what are just some real like, but you know, we've got two practices that these are really big ones.
Yeah.
These are good, right? So, pleasure and making sure that we're like really digging in and using the earth when we have to show up and we don't feel like it. You know what? I don't know that we can actually tell the women on this call that don't ever put yourself in a position where you have to show up with your energy and you don't feel like it. I mean, we're going to lose every single person on this call because that is just not
practical.
It's not real. And also we're meant to give our light. So there are going to be times where we're scheduled to do something. And so this is a great tip for sure.
Right. And so then where do we pull from and how can we not be so hard on ourselves? Right. I think that's what I think we gain a lot of energy and a lot of turn on back when we can remove or lessen some of that ways where we're like, there must be something wrong with me that I don't feel myself today. You know, or am I really crazy? And that I think is a sort of a hidden source of energy loss that I'm so passionate about, like what is going on in the heart and the mind of us as women. Yeah.
Yeah. I think managing that might be, you know, one, normalizing the cycle, right? But then that third aspect, maybe that's the third practice, is to not just recognize the energy but accept that we can kind of turn it around just by taking a look at it.
Yes. Right? Now I wonder about this, just throwing this in here, it's maybe a third or a bonus, but this would be celebrating. This would be appreciating ourselves. So I'm sure you've heard this statistic that the average man, these are a little bit broad strokes, right? But the average man, I don't know, you know, what other characteristics this average man has, but the average man needs to feel 51% qualified to apply for a job. Right. And the average woman needs to feel 95% qualified to apply for that same job or a job. And so I often think about like how 45% harder we are on ourselves and more demanding. And so what if we just took a little of that pressure off and could recognize how actually qualified we are?
Mm.
So what I mean by self-celebration or self-appreciation is, can we just notice the little things about ourselves? I have a friend who calls it clapping for yourself. Can you just find these little moments? You're like, oh, I did that thing. I responded that way. Or I,
yes,
you know, whatever it is. And we just stand up and we clap for ourselves internally. I suppose yes. You can do it externally too. you know this, and I know that everybody who's listening knows this some of the time, that we are so capable, we are so qualified, we are so strong, we are so creative, we're so able, we're so loving, we're so grounded, and we rarely give ourselves the credit. Mm. And I mean, you know, I have my moments, but many years on of really doing this practice, I'm good to myself. And I fail just as much as anybody else. Yeah. You know, I don't hit the thing out of the park just as much as anybody else, but I don't turn on myself as much. It's rare, right? I treat myself reverently. It's a good internal environment in there. And I think that that's gotten me, saved me some energy. I think all that trash talking, it steals our light. Self.
Oh my God. Does it steal the light? Yes, definitely.
And I really think we can counteract it with, all you do is telling the truth about that. You're wonderful in the ways that you're wonderful. Just tell the truth to yourself. Yeah. And I think it's a good self-care practice.
Yes. Some of our programs, we start them off with a drag and then a brag.
Nice.
So we do drags and brags, and I'm always having to, like, you know, depends on the population. More often than not, I call people. I'm like, what's the brag? Let's see if we can fill that brag out a little bit more, and, you know, kind of really get women to get into that space. And then once the faucet starts going, they're like, and then this happened, and then this happened. It's like, yeah, it's right there. But yeah. You know what? Like, this whole world rewards that joyful, loving vibration that a lot of women have naturally, because we're very connected, and it comes from feeling a part of the world. And so it's at the tip of our fingertips. And if we could value that, we're not going to care how many things on our resume match up with that, because we know that that vibe, that general vibration of passion and juiciness and connectedness, the rest of that stuff, that those skills on the resume, that'll take care of itself. It's much harder to have that grace and bring that energy to the table. I'm not talking about woohoo energy. I'm talking about energy of self-appreciation, gratitude, connected to the earth, appreciation for nature, others. That's harder to manufacture than the skills that we need to get XYZ job.
Mm. Mm. Yeah. And back to what you said before, it's a shame that isn't valued, you know? Yeah. It's not a soft skill. It's a hard skill, actually.
And you know what's funny? It actually is valued, but they can't measure it, right? So it's sort of like you can't, like, teach HR how to look for it, right?
Right.
And it shows up in recommendations and things like that. But as a result, because it can't be measured, people who, you know, have that energy tend to undervalue it and themselves, and they overvalue all those skills.
Yes.
You know, all those, you know, other skills. And that creates a cycle of, I'm not good enough. And, you know, if we could just claim the value of our own turn on, I mean, 10% of that job requirement, you know, we would meet and we would still be able to slay.
Right. Right. And I really love what you just said, that we live in a world that doesn't believe it unless it can measure it.
Right.
And this is just an example from the health world. So there's all these things that affect women, or at least are reported by women more than men, like chronic fatigue, mm-hmm. Just right for an example. And most doctors aren't trained to believe women that those are real symptoms and don't have ways to measure it. And so it goes unsupported and unhealed.
Right.
And it's taken either women or men or whoever to go, the problem isn't with the symptoms, it's with the measurement. Let's believe the people that this is an important thing to look at, and let's figure out how to measure it. Mm-hmm. And I think going back to what we've been saying for in different ways this whole time is, I just, you know, so appreciate when you can, when the next woman can say, actually, turn on is a huge value.
Yeah.
Or, you know, the term emotional labor, whatever it is, something that was not believed or even sort of seemingly invisible because it couldn't quite be measured or quantified. Is so valuable. The problem isn't, right? It's the problem is that we need to value it and measure it, actually, or find a way to measure it.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. And protect it.
And
that's
protect
the other
it.
Thing, because there are people out there who consider, you know, we'll say those with strong feminine, right? Like a source of their own energy, right? Oh, yes. Don't go into a whole like societal epidemic of narcissism. We won't go into that, but I kind of do want to go into that. But anyway, if we get in touch with our energy and we celebrate it and not just give the soft clap, but jump up and down every time that we have a win. And at the root of that win was our own turn on, right? Yeah. We also need to protect it and not just like throw pearls before swine and let anybody just, you know, and sometimes when we're needing that sort of external validation, we give and give and give, and that's part of the burnout, right? We need to set boundaries and protect that valuable resource. Once, you know, once we have it, we want to be careful
who we share it with. We really do. I don't know if this helps anyone, but if it does, hallelujah. When I was pregnant, so I only've had one kiddo. When I was pregnant, my partner said,
there's no only, by the way. I mean, you may have one, but you know, it's not just one. It's a lot of work. I just want to say
it's a lot of work. Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I was acknowledging you do have more than one. So,
okay, but still.
But still, yes. Yes. Thank you. Yes. When I was pregnant, my partner said, you know, you now have permission. You have a permission slip to be flaky. And what that meant was, you know, you can cancel at the last minute and because you're tired or exhausted. Yeah. And I just decided not to ever throw away that permission slip. And I do pride myself on showing up for people, you know, so I'm not universally flaky, but I do want to pass that along that so often we will not protect our turn on. We will betray our own selves just to show up for somebody else. And so in whatever way that permission slip might be helpful, to cancel at the last minute or say no to the obligation and then know that we can withstand on the inside the guilt or the shame or the fear of disappointment. And this is real. This is in our DNA. This is being likable and people pleasing has been the way that women specifically have survived for too many thousands of years. So, you know, again, we're starting with a little tip and then we get into some really, you know, real territory, but I remember this statistic I heard, I think it was in a book by Barbara Stanny. She interviewed women who were created ventures or something, but they'd be above the $1 million mark. And the one trait that they had in common was that they had to trade in being liked for being respected. Mm. And again, this is no easy thing, but you know, of course we want to go to the things or say yes to the things because we love them and we want to support the people or, you know, it's good for our careers or whatever, but sometimes we do it to be liked.
Yeah.
Or to not be not liked. And so I just, want to, you know, champion anybody who could use a little extra courage to have a little less, say yes to less things in order to safeguard your own well-being and your turn on and maybe a little space in your schedule. Yeah.
Cool. Fabulous. Now we're wrapping up here, but I want our audience to know that you are launching a group mastery program based on your book, Feminine Genius, and you actually help women with the boundaries, with the protecting the turn on, with developing and discovering the turn on and all that to live basically a super juicy life without compromise. And so that's all on LianaSilver.com, all that. Yes. It'll be in the show notes. And all of these practices that we've talked about will be implemented over time. And you have other courses, but right now, this one will be timely. But usually you work with women over a period of time, correct? Like 9 months, or do you do one-offs as well?
Absolutely do. So this program you mentioned is called Meant to Be, and it is one-on-one work. It's group work. It's an in-person retreat. So it's kind of a big juicy thing. It's a 6-month deal. But if we work one-on-one, I do a little bit, usually a little bit longer, 3 to 6 months, or I mean, I have clients who've been with me for years and years, and we can do one session as well. Okay. I call it a metamorphosis session. And it's a really great way to get kind of like months or even years from worth of transformation in a single. So we can do a single.
Yes. And I know you're good at that because you and I are both graduates of NLP Marin.
Yes.
And we know how to laser get into an issue and re-imprint and create breakthroughs in a small amount of time. But you're available. Everything's on the website. And if you want someone to really want this change, they can reach out to you and schedule any one of these, whether it's the course or the one-on-one. And Liana, it's just been such a pleasure. I just so enjoy this conversation. I feel like I could have it for another 2 hours, and I will be keeping your book until I get over this hump. I will be keeping your book on my desk so that I can remind myself that I don't want to fall into that old pattern. Not wanting to do it.
No, I'm right there with you. Thank you for being in this conversation and amplifying this conversation. It's such a joy. Thank you.
Oh,